Let's take our Bibles this evening. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. As I prepared for this message, I realized it's going to continue the theme from this morning, of finishing strong. Well, tonight I'm talking about a king and our studies of the kings of Israel and Judah that had a strong start but a weak finish. And of course, if you were in our morning service, you know that was the theme there in the book of Joshua chapter 13, that there was still land to take. And that there was still work to be done, and to finish strong in that instance. Last Sunday evening, we were in this study on the kings of Israel and Judah, and we talked about the queen, the one queen in this whole line of these rulers, and it was Queen Athaliah there of the southern kingdom in Judah. And you remember her son Ahaziah had reigned 1 year and was killed by Jehu the prophet, or excuse me, the king, not Jehu the prophet, the king there of a general, and then the king in Israel. And then she took that upon herself to kill all of his sons and appoint herself as the queen there in Judah. Well, she thought she had killed all the sons. There was one that was delivered. And that's what we spoke on last week, and on those unknown or little-known heroes of the Bible, a lady named Jehosheba, and then her husband, the priest, Jehoiada. They took a little boy, 1 year old, his name was Joash. They hid him in the temple for 6 years, and while they had him hid, Jehoiada taught him in the ways of the Lord and invested in him. And when this little boy was 7 years old, Jehoiada led a revolt against Queen Athaliah. She was put to death, and Joash became the king of Judah at 7 years old. He certainly did have an amazing start to his reign as a king, but what we're going to see this evening, he just crashes at the end. It's an awful, awful end. I have a chart of kings that I've used of the different, both nations, and in that chart, it'll tell me if it was a good king or a bad king, and if they reigned well or they did not reign well. And under Joash, it says good mostly, and I don't know, he finishes so bad, I don't even want to keep him in the good category. He really does fall off the cliff here. So let's read chapter 24. I'm going to read the entire chapter, 27 verses, because I want you to get this. It covers his whole reign in this one chapter. It says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, get this, all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather all Israel of Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year. And see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, why hast thou not required the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without the gate of the house of the Lord, and made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord's the house of the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made it an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest officers came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord. and also such as was wrought in iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in this state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons, offer withal spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord, their Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord, that ye keep cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with the stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, speaking here of Zechariah, when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. And these are they that conspired against him: Zabab, the son of Shemaiah, and the Ammonites, and Jehozabad, the son of Shemarith, a Moabitess. Now concerning his sons and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him in the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of the kings, and Amaziah his son reigned in his stead. As you can see from that, if you followed along closely, it was a strong start, but a very awful finish. So this evening, I want to look at five things that we can see from this man's life and hopefully learn from them. First of all, would you not agree with me that Joash was had a spiritual privilege? God blessed him in a spiritual fashion. He was destined for death. His brothers and the royal seed, it says back in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 10, I believe, or chapter 12, I guess it is, said that they were all put to death, and that was what his destiny was, but God delivered him through his providence. And certainly he was privileged. He was hid in the temple of God, where he was trained by the priest there, the chief priest, Jehoiada. And it certainly was a great privilege for him to be raised in this fashion. And I'm certain there must have been times in his life where he reflected and wondered, why am I the one that was spared? Why not one of my brothers? Why did God allow my life or his life to be spared? It reminds me of this statement that I've heard many times in my life: great privilege demands great responsibility. When we are blessed, when God has blessed us in immense fashion, we have a great responsibility then. Years ago when I was pastoring in Pennsylvania, I had to every once in a while go down to Pittsburgh, which is about an hour and a half away, and make a hospital visit down there. And so I didn't go to Pittsburgh frequently, and it was before you had GPSs on your phones, and I didn't even have a GPS in my car yet. I'd have to print off directions off MapQuest. You remember those days, and have to read while you're driving there. And so I have these MapQuest directions trying to get to various hospitals. And if you've ever been in Pittsburgh, there's three rivers that converge into one river there, and there's tunnels and there's bridges, and it's a confusing city to get in and around, and that's what I was struggling with. And one day I got off track, got stuck in a traffic jam there where there was a construction site or an accident or something, and I was just stuck there. And there was a light that would go, and I'd maybe move up a car length every light because of all this backed up traffic. And as I looked down the way closer to the light, there was a man standing there holding a sign. You've seen them, right? And so for like a half hour, I just have this guy, as I'm in the middle lane, there's those three lanes of traffic, I'm in the middle lane, and I'm just looking at this guy waiting. And the thought came to me, not the sign, not his story of what he said on the sign, but my thought just came to this: how did that guy get there? What happened in his life that caused him to get to a point where he was begging for a few dollars each day, trying to make it by? I think his sign said that he was homeless and he was jobless. Would you please help? And my mind just said, what happened in that guy's life? And as I sat there for that half hour, then the thought came to me, why hasn't that happened to me? Well, why? Boy, there has been some mistakes in my life that could have taken me a different direction. There are some things that could have happened in my family's life that could have led me a different direction. And as I sat there, I began to weep, thinking about, just as one of the songs I just said, of how good God has been to me, how much He's blessed me. And I imagine tonight many of you could sit here with me. Here you are in church on a Sunday night. You've been spiritually blessed, haven't you? You look back in your life and you realize, wow, my life could have gone a completely different direction. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. I've been in a Christian home all of my life. I've been in a preacher's home all of my life. I was born on a Tuesday. On that next Sunday, I was in church, and I did not miss church. I had to go. I was drugged. You ever heard that? I had a drug problem when I was growing up. My parents drugged me to church, and they drugged me here. I did. I mean, the church was a part of my life, and I maybe did not always appreciate it then, but I look back on it now, and I thank God. I know I'm looking at some people in here. You did not grow up in a Christian home, but there were circumstances. There was the providence of God that eventually led you to Jesus Christ. Church, we are a blessed people. We have been spiritually privileged. And with that privilege comes great responsibility. What an honor it is. And Joash began his life that way. I know it was an awful. His grandmother is assassinated and murdered his family, but God spared him. He was spiritually privileged. We also see in this passage of Scripture that he was a man of zeal. Joash saw a need. During the reign of Athaliah and probably back into his father Ahaziah, the temple is not being cared for. It's being abused in the worship of Baal, and many of the things have been taken away. And so Joash sees a need, and he calls for an offering to start to take place. Now, what's interesting is it doesn't happen quick enough for him. And he goes to Jehoiada and says, what's the holdup here? Get these guys out there, and he eventually takes over this project. And I've thought about that. That had to be probably an uncomfortable conversation with this man that was his mentor, his adopted father, this man that invested in him, when he had to go to him. Now remember, Jehoiada dies at 130. We're not talking about a spring chicken here, right? I mean, he may have been, I'm getting on it there, Joash, give me a break, you know, I'm an old man, but he had zeal in his life, and he wanted this project done now. And he does. He brings in the offerings, and they bring in such an amount, according to verse number 14, that there was an abundance of this offering, and they were able to use the abundance to replace many of the instruments. It was a great zeal for the Lord. He was spiritually blessed. He had a great zeal for the Lord. But then there's a testing that comes. As we see here in verse number 17, Jehoiada dies. And they are verse 15 through 17, he has died and they've buried him. And at that point, we think about all that it says in verse number 2, at the very end, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. After the death of Jehoiada, his adopted father, his mentor, there's a change. And verse number 17 describes that change for us. It says, now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Joash is tested, and we see here that he fails miserably. It doesn't appear that it was just the death of Jehoiada that caused the failing of Joash. Perhaps it set him on a way and took him away from the Lord. But what is highlighted in the scripture here is that there were some individuals that came to Joash and they began to make obeisance. That word obeisance is the same idea of exalting and worshiping. They show up and they begin to say, oh, Joash, great and mighty Joash, and start exalting and lifting him up, bowing their knee to him. And it appears that Joash likes it. He says, yeah, I like you lifting me up. And he begins to receive this. Listen, I am grateful for any time someone comes out and says, hey, I appreciate the message today. It worked in my heart. I'm grateful for that. I appreciate the sentiments. I appreciate all those things. But it's a bad place when I start believing it, isn't it? It's a dangerous place when I'm like, yeah, it was a good one. Yeah. We don't ever want to get there, church. I'll tell you this. If anything good ever happens here, it's because of God. In those bad days, those days where it just doesn't click and it doesn't flow, you can throw that one on me. That wasn't God. And when we start believing what the praise and the obeisance of people, it's a dangerous place in our lives. And this man begins to believe it, and it led him down a path. And so he had this test that came into his life. His mentor has died. He begins to listen to the people around him. But God gives him an opportunity to repent. Look at verse number 18. It says, and they left the house of the Lord their God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass, for their sin. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath forsaken you. So here are these prophets, and then Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, presents himself to the people and to Joash and gives them the message of the Lord. You've rejected God, he's rejected you. Instead of repenting, Joash digs in, doesn't he? He's not going to come out of this. To the point here where he commands the people to stone Zechariah. Now, I would have thought that Zechariah and Joash would probably be close. Zechariah is the natural son to Jehoiada. Joash is the adopted son. Zechariah's parents saved Joash's life. They've hid him for those 6 years. They raised him in the ways of the Lord. And here he is commanding the death of his adopted brother. What a way to repay the kindness of Jehoiada by murdering his son. You know, it's interesting, the very place they're at where this takes place is where Jehoiada anointed him the king of Israel. And here he is murdering his son, having him backslidden. Don't ever be surprised at what a backslidden believer can get involved in. Someone that's away from the Lord. I won't even begin to try to give examples of it this evening, but if you've been in church, you've been in ministry, you've been around very long, you've seen people that claim to be saved and get away from God, do some things that just, wow, are they really, could they be saved and do those things? People can do some of the most awful things when they get away from the Lord. Now, I think, although we have very little scripture on this particular man named Zechariah, I like his last words there in verse number 22. And when he died, it says the very end of that, says, and when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. I studied that out. I read several commentaries, and basically, if we could paraphrase that, he says, Lord, I'm putting it in your hands. You can deal with it as you see fit. It's your call, Lord. He submitted himself to the will of God. Now, I will say this. If you're going to serve the Lord, doesn't always mean that everything's going to go your way. Zechariah did what God called him to do, and it cost him his life. God filled him. God gave him the message. He delivered the message, and it cost him his life. I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul gives all the struggles of ministry, beaten with rods, beaten with a cat of nine tails, shipwrecked multiple times. All of these things that took place in his life were difficulties, ultimately ending in his death. As history will tell us, he was beheaded there in Rome. Serving the Lord can bring difficulties and dangers. Zechariah seemed to submit himself to the will of God here and believed it. But Joash was given an opportunity to repent, and he rejected. And that ends with the consequences of his choices. We won't read them all again here, but down at the end of this chapter here, he dies. They've come under attack from Syria. Injures him in a fashion, and they leave him there, and he's diseased and he's hurt. He's in his bed, and his own servants kill him. Now, there are some ironies here in these consequences. As Joash forsook God, we see that God forsook him. He walked away from God, and God did not deliver him during these times. We see that Joash murdered Zechariah, and Joash's servants murdered him. Joash did not honor the office of the priest. And Joash was not honored in his death. Did you notice that? That they buried him in Jerusalem, but not with the kings? Did you notice that Jehoiada, when he died, a priest, was buried with the kings? God honored this man for his faithfulness, and Joash was not honored in his death. There is a principle out there, church, called the principle of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. Now, I always try to remind people that that can be a positive as well. You can sow in a good fashion and reap in a good fashion. We often think of it in the negative, though, don't we? Going out there and living apart from God, rejecting God and God's ways, and that's certainly what you will get in the consequences. So this man, Joash, as I consider this true story and the amazing way it began, it makes the ending that much sadder, doesn't it? Wow, what a disaster at the end. You would have expected this, as we saw with Ahab and Jezebel, and the way they died their awful deaths, but you wouldn't have thought that the way this story began. This guy got off track, rejected the ways of God, and at 47 years old, he was put to death. assassinated by his own people. And so, church, let us learn from the lessons of this man. Started off great with great spiritual privilege. Began again with great zeal, but then that test came and the opportunity to repent, and he rejected that, and it ended in this awful, awful fashion. And this evening, the Lord may be working in your heart, giving you another opportunity to get right with him. Well, that was timely. Wow. Maybe we should just have the invitation right there, right? And God may be working in our own hearts in many ways here, but listen, God is a God of mercy. No doubt if he would have repented, God would have worked with them. Without a doubt, God is a gracious and merciful God. And Joash had his opportunity. He rejected that. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes this evening. Strong start, awful finish. Challenge you this morning of finishing strong. Again this evening, the Lord's touching your heart. It's an opportunity for you to pray this evening. Use this altar or there at your pew. Let's be obedient to him tonight. Father, take this invitation moment. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, you're working in our hearts. Help us to listen to you. Help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed as the piano begins to play. Just give you a moment. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you respond this evening.